Today on Real Radio.
Joshua got up early and for good reason. He began to move the people from Acacia Grove to Jordan. It's about 7 to 10 miles of a walk. Now you might say, well, that's not that big of a deal. The average human walks 3 miles an hour. Boy, they'll be there in no time. Try moving 2.5 million people. Can you imagine? Let's go! Can you imagine? No PA system.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his series through the book of Joshua. Now, Joshua was given a big task, and that was to lead the Israelites into the Promised Land. And after being led for some 40 years by Moses, his assistant Joshua and the children of Israel find themselves at the edge of the Jordan River. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson that looks at the first 13 verses of Joshua chapter 3. The lesson's called Standing at the Edge.
Listen, why don't you grab your Bibles this morning and turn to Joshua chapter 3 in our study. And we'll cover the bulk of the chapter this morning, verses 1 through 13. And then we'll leave the remainder of it for next week. Beginning at verse 14 next week, we'll end the chapter. Very exciting portion of Scripture, very prophetic. In fact, chapters 3 and 4 are very significant in the life of the believer, both then and now. The title of the message this morning is Standing at the Edge. Standing at the Edge. The children of Israel have come now. They have been led some 40 years by Moses. Moses, in our time scheme of things, died a couple weeks ago. And now they have Joshua. God has ordained Joshua to lead them. And they are on the eastern side of the Jordan River, just south, by the way, of the Golan Heights today. The area between Moab and the Golan, near the Dead Sea. A very vacant land of life. I mean, it is now just desert, barren wilderness. Rather frightening looking. We'll be there in a couple months. Many of you will be. And we'll take you through there. We'll go over to Jericho, by the way, but we'll cross by bus, air-conditioned. And you'll be standing right in the very spots of what we're going to be reading and studying these next couple weeks. But the children of Israel now, some 2.5 million plus, after many of them having perished and died in the wilderness because of unbelief, God now raises up their children. And they are standing on the eastern shore or the banks of Jordan, and Joshua's going to lead them in. We've been looking at the preparation. A couple weeks ago, we opened up the book by looking at Joshua being called by God and being told by God to be strong and be very courageous. Don't be afraid. As I was with Moses, so I'm going to be with you. And then we saw last time with Rahab as the two spies covertly, secretly, like FBI agents, went into the Promised Land. They came to the city of Jericho, and they met up with this woman, Rahab, who by faith made an announcement to them that she believed in their God with all of her heart. And so she asked of the two spies, when you come to destroy our city that God has given to you, she didn't dispute that. She said, when you come, spare me and my house and all those who dwell in it. And so the two spies said, we will spare you and whoever dwells within your home, only if the scarlet thread or rope is suspended from your window. We will see the scarlet thread and we will bypass your home and not destroy it. And we talked about last week how that coincides with the great exodus of Egypt. If blood was on the doorpost and lintel, that is, by the way, the top middle part of the door entry, and on both sides, by the way, the father of the house would take hyssop, dip it in blood, and hit the top part of the overhead of the doorway, bring it back, and then hit both sides of the doorpost, that forms a perfect shape of a cross. And when the death angel came through Egypt, by the way, do you happen to know what day it was when that happened? It was Friday. It was on a Friday. What day? What was the date, the number of the calendar by any chance? Friday the... Very good. That's why Friday the 13th is revered and feared by people who are in cults or superstitious type beliefs. Friday the 13th was a very terrible day for the Egyptians. Saturday the 14th was the day of deliverance. By the way, Saturday the 14th, the 14th of Nisan, is the same day that Noah stepped out of the ark. Interestingly enough, the day of grace. Saturday the 14th, you would have woken up in Egypt and found out if your firstborn had died or not. If your firstborn had died, it would have been because you didn't have blood on your door. That would have been because you weren't believing God. And so Joshua is given information by the two spies to spare Rahab's house because she has a scarlet rope hanging from her house, which we saw last week spoke of the blood of Christ to come, yes, of the offerings of the past, absolutely, but also Isaiah chapter 1, verses 17 and 18 says that our sins are like scarlet. Not only was Rahab a prostitute, Gentile, pagan, worshiping sinner, she qualified perfectly to be forgiven by God. And in her scarletness, that sin was converted into righteousness by faith in God. And she winds up being recorded in Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of the lifestyles of the righteous and faithful. She's there presented as one who's been declared righteous by her belief in God. How does that sit with you this morning? Do you believe that? I tell you, you are either very religious, and you go to church and you tithe your money and you work at whatever you work at in the church and you strut around town and you think you're pretty good because you're doing these things, and you may be pretty good. You may be better than any of us in this room. But are you aware that the Bible says by self-justification and by trying to keep the law of God, you will not be justified in the sight of God? Are you aware that the law was simply what the Greek word is in Galatians, the pedagogus? It means that it's a schoolmaster that points you to the rules. That's what the law is. Now the Bible says, Paul says in Romans, that the law is holy, the law is just, and the law is good. But Paul says, I was not aware of my sin until I looked the face of the law. And the face of the law says, guilty. The Bible says you break one of the Ten Commandments and you've broken them all. Why? That sounds rather hard, doesn't it? You might say, well, I'm not guilty of adultery and I'm not guilty of stealing my neighbor's lawnmower, but the Bible does say that we're not to bear false witness. Well, I've never lied before. Well, okay, let's just go to the first commandment, which says you're to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. We've all failed at that, you guys, every one of us. You see, you can either run away right now with your fingers in your ears saying, I don't want to hear any more of this negativism. Or you can pull your fingers out of your ears and listen up close and realize that God saves those who cannot save themselves, which is any one of us. Now, I grew up, and my sweet mom, she's in heaven now, praise God, and she's got her theology correct right now. But when we were growing up, she'd always say, God helps those who helps themselves. You ever hear that before? I thought it was Mom 1-1. That's not true, by the way. God helps those who cannot save themselves. The point is this morning, can you save yourself? The quicker you come to the realization, hey, I am definitely not sinless, then the next step is for you to say, I am a sinner. It means I've missed the mark. Remember what the word means? They would have stood up in the Olympic Games and said, you missed! 9.9! What was the goal? 10! But when my favorite skater, Katarina Witt, when she gets done skating, she sits down in her box and she looks, and they go 9.8, 9.7, 9.9. What is she looking for? A 10. She's looking for that perfect skate. And the law stands up and says 9.7, 9.9, 8.5. It never says 10.10. Never. Only when Jesus Christ died on the cross did the law say, all right, I'm satisfied. In him was the fullness of God revealed in human form. In him alone is the sacrifice that the law accepts. That's why God says when we were without strength in our sins, Christ died for the ungodly. So if you can consider yourself ungodly this morning, if you have sinned, let me get a little pool up here and see if you can walk across the water. If you can't, then you can say, hallelujah, I'm a sinner. I qualify to be saved. You see, that's the great thing. Who's in heaven? A bunch of sinners. Aren't all the saints in heaven? Oh, yeah, but you know how you got there? You know how you get to be a saint? By coming to Christ by faith. Paul writes to the Hebrews, or to the believers in the book of Romans, that is, and he says, to the saints of God who are at Rome. And that word hagos, by the way, is lost, condemned, sinner. But when you put an I in the middle, it becomes hagios. When you put I in the middle of hagos, you go from a condemned sinner, the word now means saint. Isn't that cool? Who's the I that you need to put in the middle? Jesus said in John chapter 8, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Jesus says, I am before Abraham ever was. I thought he came at Christmas. He was born into the world in flesh at Christmas time. But Jesus has always been. The Bible says he's the eternal creator. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 that he is in fact the one who not only created everything, but he's the atomic glue. You know, we still don't know what atomic glue is, but the Bible reveals to us what atomic glue is. Scientists know that an atom stays together and it makes its rotations, or the protons and all makes its rotations around the nucleus, but they don't know what keeps it together. You know, they don't know what holds this pulpit together. They don't know it yet. You have to read the Bible to find out the answer. It says that he, Christ Jesus, holds it together by the word of his command. By the way, if you read the fine print, there's going to come a day when he's going to say, release! And it's all going to go. It's all going to burn. Joshua chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they crossed over. First point of our study, we see that God begins to speak here through the officers of Joshua. Now, it does say in verse 1 that Joshua rose up early. Sounds rather normal, and I'm sure it is kind of normal. But we'll see in a moment, verses 1 through 4 speaks about the officers, or Joshua's assistants speaking to the people. But Joshua gets up early. Early on the heels of what? Early on the heels of last week. It says in verse 24 of chapter 2, that message was brought to him by the two spies that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted. They're shaken in their sandals by virtue of our God and by whom we serve. And when Joshua heard this, he says, that's it. And the next day, he gets up early. Now, I don't want to put a grip on you at all, but if you can by all means get up early, start getting up early. Start going to bed earlier. Well, you know, you might say, I work different shifts. I know, and that's hard. So find whatever your morning is. You know, I know for some people, their morning is in the evening because they work all night long. You know what? Find out what your morning is and get up a little earlier and seek God. I think it's awesome. I think there's something for those of us who have the privilege of being able to seek God in the morning when it's yet even dark outside and see the morning come up. I don't know about you, but there's something about being up early that causes you to feel like you're not missing anything. And spend time with God. Open up to the Gospel of John. Begin reading. Take an extra 30 minutes. Go to bed earlier. Why? Well, Joshua got up early and God began to lead him. You might say, well, you're kind of making a mountain out of a molehill, aren't you? No, the Bible says David got up early. And the Bible says Moses got up early. The Bible says Jesus got up early. I think we need to get up early. I think it's good. Now, don't write me or email me about, I have this medical condition. Then stay in bed. I understand that. Not everybody can. But you know who you are, who can and won't. I know it's hard. That's why you got to set your alarm like out in the living room, so you got to get up to go turn it off. Don't put it right by your bed. You know what you do? You snooze that thing. Snooze, snooze, snooze. Get it away from you. Joshua got up early and for good reason. He began to move Acacia, or from the people from Acacia Grove to Jordan. It's about 7 to 10 miles of a walk. Now, you might say, well, that's not that big of a deal. The average human walks 3 miles an hour. Boy, they'll be there in no time. Try moving 2.5 million people. Can you imagine? Let's go! Can you imagine? No PA system. We don't go on vacations all that much, but when we do go on vacations, I do a dirty trick to the three women who live in my house. If we want to be, first of all, family members know. If they want to invite us over, with all the other family. If the gathering's at 6, if it's at 7, they'll tell us to be there at 6. Why? So we get there at 7. When we get up to go somewhere, when we're going on vacation, they always forget it, but I'll set the clock right before we go to bed. I'll set the clock ahead. Don't try this at home. It could be dangerous. I set the clock ahead when we go to bed, because by the time I get them out of bed and get them going, get makeup's on just right, everything's ironed. We're going to go sit in the car for 10 hours, but everything's ironed, and everything's just right. We're so late. And I'll go, oh, look, we're leaving an hour late. There we go. We're always an hour late. Get in the car and drive away, and the car clock will say the right time. We're leaving right on time that we planned on. Then they look at me and they go, did you set the clock ahead again? Yep. And we're leaving on time. Joshua gets up and says, hey, get up. And how does he do it? Through officers, through assistants. The assistants begin to speak to the people. Look with me in verse 2. It says here, so it was after 3 days. You ought to mark 3 days, by the way. Something happened significantly after 3 days. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp. That's a huge camp to go through. Verse 3, and they commanded the people, saying this. This is all the people here. So you hear this announcement. Attention, please. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priest of the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from the place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits or 3,000 feet. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for we have not passed this way before. Close quote. That's all they get. Up until this moment, listen carefully, people. Up until this moment, they've been led by Moses. They've had the pillar of fire by night. They've had the cloud to protect them by day. Moses is dead. And by the way, the law, who's Moses, had to die so grace and truth could lead them into the promised land, whose name was Joshua. Joshua in Hebrew. But you know his name, or another name, I should say, of another wonderful, or the wonderful deliverer, Jesus in Greek. Jesus' name. Mary would have turned to Jesus and called him Joshua in Hebrew. Yeshua, come over here. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that cool? Joshua. Joshua was Jesus' name. We call him Jesus because that's his name in Greek. So the people are given the command. Moses is dead. Joshua is going to lead us in. They know somehow, they had heard the rumor that they were going to take the promised land. But they get up in the morning and they're walking for 10 miles. They get to a place and the command is given to them. And the people don't know anything else. Can you imagine having 2.5 million people and you say to them, we're going to get up and we're going to move and we're going to go right over to the base of the Jordan River. How many people do you think would have raised their hands and said, excuse me, I have a question. When? How fast are we going? What do we wear? Is there any food there? How will we know when we get there? Are we there yet? There's no sign of this. The cloud of protection seems to be possibly either there and it vanishes once they cross, or the pillar of fire that's kept them for 40 plus years is going to be diminishing. Isn't it amazing to think? It's not mentioned anymore. The manna that fell from the sky and fed the people, it's not going to happen anymore. They're crossing over into a whole new existence with God. The Ark of the Covenant's been with them since Moses, but the people didn't look to it. Only Moses related to the Ark of the Covenant. Now the people are going to have to relate to it. This is very exciting. So the people are moving along. You got to put yourself in their sandals. It's got to be tremendous. So it was after 3 days that the officers made this announcement. 3 days. It's not enough that Jesus came to earth according to the ancient scriptures. By the way, you know that, right? From Genesis to Malachi, the Old Testament speaks that Jesus Christ would come and that he would be able to be identified by being born in Bethlehem, by being born through a virgin, by having a lineage both covered from Joseph and Mary. He had to come from the tribe of Judah. He had to have no creation and no ending. He had to be eternal, according to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and Isaiah 9, 6. The Messiah was to come and take upon himself human form and die for the sins of the world, said the Old Testament. And he would be recognizable because Zechariah chapter 9 says he would come to Jerusalem riding on the back of a donkey who has never been ridden before. And Daniel said you would recognize him because he would come 173,880 days from March 14th, 445 BC, when Nehemiah was given the command to go forth and restore and rebuild the walls and the street of Jerusalem. From that moment on, the prophecy was given that the Messiah will come 483 years from March 14th, 445 BC. And you've got Jesus riding into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, April 6th, 32 AD, and the whole nation received him as king at the beginning of the week and crucified him by the end of the week, just as the prophets foretold. How do you handle that if you're a skeptic? This same God that promised the future in advance also says that you need to make a decision for Christ and come to him by faith.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at the first 13 verses of Joshua chapter 3. It's called Standing at the Edge. It's a description of Joshua and the children of Israel arriving at the banks of the Jordan River. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this fascinating historical book, which will continue next time here on Real Radio. Now, on Monday's broadcast, Pastor Jack sits down with his friend Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C. They'll be addressing the issues that face our state and our nation as Election Day draws closer and closer as the days go by. That's all on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, you might have heard us talk about a new feature here on Real Radio that we're real excited about. It's called Ask Pastor Jack. Now, Ask Pastor Jack is a way of getting answers to your Bible questions. If you send us a question in with your name attached, you might just hear it along the way here on Real Radio. In fact, we've got Pastor Jack here right now to answer a question that comes from Corey. Corey says, Pastor Jack, I know in my heart what it means to say that Jesus died for our sins, but how can I simply express this to an objective believer on what this means?
Well, Corey, first of all, man, that's an awesome thing to be concerned about. But listen, only to a point. Let me explain. Corey, don't overanalyze the power of God and His Word. We're called to proclaim the truth. Give your friend the gospel. Talk to him about sin. Talk to him about why Christ went to the cross. Just state the truth, biblically, the truth. Why? Because God the Holy Spirit will convict your friend of sin. That's not your job.
Right.
The Holy Spirit. When you say, hey, Fred, I love you, man, but Jesus died for not only your sins, but mine too. Corey, always include yourself in the sin story because you're the greatest testimony to your friend.
Yeah.
And so, Corey, tell him, Jesus died for our sins. He died for my sins. This is what he did in my life. Don't underestimate your testimony. And tell or ask, I should say, your friend, I'm making his name up as Fred, Fred, what are you going to do about your sin?
Yeah.
Don't you have lust or anger or temper? Don't you have pride in your life, Fred? What are you going to do about that? Isn't the fact that you have sin and you can actually agree with me on that an indicator as the truth of Christ having gone to the cross? What do you think, Fred? Don't you think so? Don't try to defend the Word of God. Proclaim the Word of God. The Word of God, the Spirit of God will defend it on his own.
Thanks, Pastor Jack. Ask Pastor Jack. That's the new feature here on Real Radio. Now, we're not going to do this all the time, but every once in a while, it's kind of nice to throw a question out to Pastor Jack and find out what the real-life answer is. So if you've got a question for Pastor Jack, maybe the difficult one or maybe the easy one, doesn't matter, email us your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. You know, I've known Pastor Jack for a long time, and I've never been able to throw him a question without getting a practical answer that I can apply to my everyday life. So send your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.